Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about helping other people. And you're thinking, helping other people? What does that have to do with real estate investing? Because I tuned into the show to discuss, or at least hear your discussion of real estate investing. And I will tell you this, helping other people is a major foundational component to investing in real estate. And let me explain why. When you invest in real estate, it's not a matter of you just taking a chunk of money, plopping it down on a piece of real estate, and that real estate just magically transforming itself overnight into this beautiful place that people will call home. Nor is it all of these people clamoring to your property and magically you find the great resident that will occupy that property, who will live there, enjoy that property, take care of that property. See, real estate is really grounded in the concept of helping other people. Because as you begin your journey in real estate investing, you're going to realize that you need some help yourself. And that will come from other like-minded investors that are dialed in to the concept of helping you. And you, in turn, need to learn from that so that you, too, will help other people. So here's what I'm getting at. There are a lot of people that you will help when you buy any investment property, any investment property at all. You will help the real estate agent who found that property for you, most likely, or maybe you found it from a wholesaler. You will help that person, because when you transact that property, not only will they be helping you through the process, okay, maybe not a wholesaler, but because they brought you the deal, they will earn some type of commission or fee. And that's okay, because it's that money that they will use to support their households, because they're engaged in working for a living. And that's quite okay. I mean, that's totally fine. The other reason it's okay for them to earn a commission or a fee off of that transaction is that it keeps them in business. And by keeping them in business, they'll have the potential to bring you more properties for your review. See, they're helping you and you're helping them. Do you see the relationship there? And it doesn't end there, because you're going to help a property inspector out who will go out to the property and charge you a fee for those services. And that property inspector will in turn help you, because they will provide you a complete analysis of what is right, wrong, or indifferent with that property. And you will use that information to formulate your plan of action with regards to what you need to do to renovate that property. You're going to help out a lot of people in the trades. Maybe it's a general contractor, maybe it's a plumber, maybe it's a roofer, maybe it's a foundation expert, maybe it's a handyman. And they, in turn, are helping you out by providing the services that you need so that you can add value to that property. You see where I'm going? And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Your lenders will help you by providing sources of money for you to use to acquire that property or to put long-term financing on that property. And of course, they're going to earn a fee for doing that, which again, like the realtors and like the wholesalers, keeps them in business, which allows them to continue to provide you the services that you need. See, real estate investing, it's a people business. It really is. And you have to understand the relationship that you will formulate with regards to helping other people. See, in real estate investing, there's really two things that we do. When we acquire a property, we're doing something called adding value to that property. In other words, we'll buy that property at wholesale prices because that property is, well, there could be a myriad of reasons why you can buy a property for a lot less than what a property could be worth in the general market. It could be a condition of death or taxes owed, or in many cases, it's just deferred maintenance. Believe it or not, people will buy properties. They will live in those properties for a very long period of time. They won't do a good job of maintaining that property. Oh yeah, they'll fix the major things. But a lot of the other things, they're just not interested in doing it, or they just don't have the money. So over time, that property deteriorates. And when you buy that property and you fix that property up, you will position that property to where it's worth fair market value based on the fact that it's all fixed up, based on the fact that other comparable properties in that neighborhood are trading at a certain price point. And it gets back to the whole concept of helping other people. Because as a real estate investor, you will build a team, and that team will assist you. And by utilizing that team, you will assist them. And then there's the whole service component of real estate investing. See, service is what you provide to your resident when you provide them clean, functional workforce housing. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to get into it. We're going to talk about adding value. We're going to talk about providing service. And I want you to understand that these are not difficult things to do. Stick around.
Del Lumsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some dollars a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about the concept of helping other people, and really, this is a concept you have to wrap your mind around. Whether you decide to pursue real estate investing or not, this is a concept that will help you move forward in life. I'm going to share with you a statement, and you might think, you know what, this guy's nuts, but here's the statement. Every dime of capital in the United States is controlled by somebody. There's just no pile of money laying around waiting for you to come by and pick it up. I mean, that pile of money does not exist. So to get money, you will have to take it from somebody else's money. In order to get money legally from somebody else, and ethically and fairly, you have to do one or two things. And it has to do with providing a service or adding a value. I would be remiss if I don't address the elephant in the room, because there are people out there that believe that the government creates money. Well, if you really get down to the brass tacks of the government, and I'm talking the federal government, state governments are the same way, municipal governments are the same way, they really don't have any money of their own. No, they don't, because they don't produce anything. So they don't earn anything. See, the government only has the money that it takes from the taxpayers or that it borrows against payments that shall be made from future taxpayers. That's what that whole national debt thing is about. See, the government is able to tax you and therefore generates revenue through taxation, but, you know, it's supposed to produce things for you, like national defense, infrastructure, and things like that. And then there's a myriad of things the government pays for that you may or may not agree with. That's just the way it is. But here's the thing. When you decide to invest in real estate, you will help a lot of people. When you're on the add value side, which is the side where you acquire property, you renovate that property, you breathe new life into that property, you create a property that is no longer dilapidated, that is the best or among the best in that neighborhood. And people take notice. I mean, think about it. If you're the lady that lives three doors down from this junky house, and you drive by that every single day, and you look at that, and you go, man, that is such an eyesore. That is terrible. And then all of a sudden, one day, that lady drives by that property, and your contractors are there. They're doing renovations on the property. And she's watching that property transform. She's watching a new roof go on. She's watching paint being applied to the exterior of the property. She sees old cabinets coming out of the house and sitting in the driveway waiting for disposal because there's one of those roll-off dumpsters there. In the meantime, she sees a delivery truck pulling up and offloading the new cabinets that will be installed in the property. See, you're actually helping that lady out. Because what you're doing is you're eliminating blight in her neighborhood. You're eliminating an eyesore in her neighborhood. You're eliminating something that is actually affecting her property value. Because prospective buyers of her property, should she want to sell it, are driving by that ugly house. But now it's a different story because you came into the picture. People are driving by a house that's being transformed. And people start to think, hey, man, this neighborhood might be on the up and coming. This might be the neighborhood I need to buy into. Now, whether or not that lady decides to sell her property or not, you actually helped her because you are alleviating a burden that she carries because she sees that nasty property. And in the meantime, you're helping your contractors pay their bills because as they do work on the property, you pay in a timely manner so that the people doing the work can put food on their table, so that they can keep their power on, so that they can pay the payment on their work truck. See, you're helping that person out because you created a job for them. And that job equates to income for those people. Now think about it. I mean, if I really sit back and I think of all the different people that literally touch a real estate investment that I do, there's a myriad of people that come into the fray. Now, I've already mentioned the real estate agent or the wholesaler, but I didn't talk about the title company that does the title search to make sure there's no cloud on the title, that title will pass correctly to me. Oh, and then there's the title insurance that you buy so that just in case something goes wonky, you're going to be okay. And speaking of insurance, there's the insurance broker that I'm working with. It's providing me the insurance products on that property from the time that I acquire it through the renovation phase, through the long-term hold of that property to make sure that I will not be damaged. See, they're actually providing me a service, but I'm providing them an income stream. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, you think about it. It's actually pretty cool. Have you ever wanted to create something of beauty. But you don't necessarily have the skill sets to do it. Well, that's where real estate investing becomes so cool. Whereas I have roofed a house once in my life, long time ago, property that I had that I lived in. I re-roofed that property. It took me a while to do it. And I learned real quick that I wasn't very good at roofing. And I didn't do a bad job, don't get me wrong. But I had to learn on the fly. Had I brought in qualified roofers to do the job for me, that job would have been completed much faster. And I would have had the experience of people that understand how to put roofs on property correctly so that, you know, if I did make a mistake, and I don't know if I made a mistake, but maybe I did, chances are that professional roofer will not make that same mistake. So what we're going to do for the rest of the show is we're going to get into this concept of adding value and providing a service. Because as real estate investors, that's what we do. Now, if you're flipping properties, you're adding value. I mean, you're renovating a property, but you're not really providing a service. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about what that means. Stick around.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
So we're talking about helping other people, and we're doing it in the context of real estate investing. Now, before I went to the break, I told you that there are two elements that you need to master if you will be an effective real estate investor. This applies to things outside of real estate investing. So you may want to take a listen to what I have to say. There are two things that you must provide to be an effective real estate investor. The first thing is you must add value to whatever asset you acquire. The other thing is that you have to provide service. Now, adding value is really nothing more than the difference between the price of the finished product or service and the cost of the inputs involved in making it. I mean, that's right out of business definitions 101. In other words, what I'm getting at is that you'll acquire a property, a distressed property, for a certain price point. You will repair that property using members of your team that are helping you as well as you helping them by providing jobs for them. And when that renovation is complete, the difference between what you have spent on that property and what that property is actually worth is called equity. It is valuation that you possess. And that valuation goes right on your balance sheet as wealth. Now, service is a little bit different. Service, well, here, let me relate it to your job. When you're performing your job, you're actually performing a service for your employer. See, you're doing a task for someone that either doesn't want to do it, or maybe they just can't do it themselves. Maybe they're too busy. Maybe they just don't know how. See, what they're doing is they're leveraging your time and your talents. And if you really peel back the onion on the business world, what you'll find is that if a company pays you, let's say, $50,000 a year in salary, they base that on the expectation that you will bring in $150,000 worth of revenue streams to the company based on the work that you're doing. See, that's how they afford to pay your salary. It's usually a 3-to-1 multiplier. Now, trust me, when you get into corporate America, I mean, there are actually people that analyze this stuff that take it down to like decimal points. I'm not going there. I'm just trying to share a concept with you. So in the real estate context, when weighing adding value and providing service, it's really two opposite and opposing terms. You see, you've been watching HGTV. As a matter of fact, every time I go to my dentist, they always have these flip shows on in there. And I just sit there and I watch them, you know, and I realize that it's for entertainment. It's really for entertainment. Flipping and people that flip properties are actually on the add value side of the equation, but they don't provide a service in the long run. And the IRS recognizes that. You see, the IRS, if you look up IRS code and you find the definition for real estate flipping, what you will find is that the IRS classifies flippers as real estate dealers. In other words, these are people that are buying property to hold, maybe renovate, doesn't matter, and to later resell that property. And if that occurs in a time span per property of less than a year, you're considered self-employed. And as a result of that, you also get the benefits of paying taxes as if you're self-employed on any profits that you make on that property. So you're thinking to yourself, well, what do you mean? I thought real estate had the best tax advantages of anything out there. And that's true. It is absolutely true. Real estate investors, as a collective, pay the lowest tax rates in the country. But it gets back to IRS code. It gets back to the definition of what a real estate dealer is versus a real estate investor. And it has to do with time horizons. See, to be an investor, you have to hold the property for at least a year and a day. When you meet that threshold, you get the opportunity to take advantage of all of the tax benefits associated with being a real estate investor. But as a real estate flipper, that's not how it works. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to give you some math. Yes, we're going to do a little math lesson here. And I'm going to try not to hurt your head, but I want you to just follow along with me. So when it comes to real estate, we're all looking for a property that has a certain price point. In other words, when the property is all fixed up, it has what is called an ARV, or an after repair value. That after repair value is essentially what properties in that neighborhood are trading for when they're in good or better condition. I mean, usually great condition. So if you find a neighborhood, and I'm going to use very simple numbers here just to make my point. If you find a property that has an ARV of $100,000 and you look at that property and you go, that thing is ugly. That thing has got issues. You're not going to pay $100,000 in a neighborhood of fixed up properties that are worth $100,000. What you're going to do is you're going to buy that property at a discount. And if you can't buy it at a discount, you're going to pass and you're going to move on to the next property. So let's say you can buy that property for $50,000. And we'll just use deferred maintenance as the reason. Somebody lived in that property for a long period. They didn't take care of it. Maybe some other investor owned it. They didn't take care of it. Who knows what transpired in that property? But that property is in its current state as of now. And because we've trained you how to analyze a deal, how to determine what costs are associated with, you know, things that you need to do to fix problems that are potentially in that property, you know that it's going to take maybe $20,000 to do all the necessary repairs to get that property back to its glory days. So your all-in cost is the $50,000 that you pay for the property and the $20,000 for the repairs. The difference between that all-in price of $70,000 and that after repair value of $100,000 is your equity. That's the $30,000 of valuation that you're going to work with. Now, whether you're approaching this as a flipper or you're approaching this as an investor, everything is the same right now because we're working on renovating the property. We're adding value to that property. Now, you're going to have some closing and some holding costs. We're just going to estimate those at $14,000. And your gross profit, when you take the $30,000 of equity and you subtract the closing and holding costs of, say, $14,000, will give you a gross profit of $16,000. Now, right here at this point, that magic number of $16,000, that gross profit, this is where the real estate investor and the real estate flipper part ways. Because the real estate investor will put that property back into service by providing clean, functional workforce housing for a population in our country that desperately desires to have it. The real estate flipper is going to sell that property. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what the IRS will do. Stick around.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for, a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del, people are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So we went to break. I was basically explaining to you a sample deal. And this is the same kind of deal whether you're a real estate flipper or your real estate investor. They're both going to follow essentially the same path to finding distressed property, renovating that property, and getting that property back to its glory days. And where I got to was basically a discussion of net equity. In other words, when you take the equity available in the property based on the all-in costs and you subtract any closing and holding costs, you'll have a gross profit. And we said that gross profit on this $100,000 ARV'd home was $16,000. Now, the real estate flipper will turn around and they will put that property on the market and they will sell that property. And the intention is to obtain that $16,000 in gross profit. But here's the catch. Because you didn't own that property for a year and a day, you maybe owned it 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, whatever your holding time was. And by the way, real estate flippers don't want to hold properties for a long period of time because what they use is the same thing that real estate investors use, hard money loans to get into the deal, to buy it, and to cover some, if not all, of the repair costs. But the real estate flipper wants their profit, and they want it now. And because the IRS classifies flippers as real estate dealers, they're subject to paying whatever their ordinary tax rate is on that $16,000. And if they're good at what they do, they're probably in the upper tax brackets. Maybe it's 25 to 35% tax. And they're also classified as being self-employed, meaning they have to pay Medicare and Social Security taxes. Now, if you work for somebody, you already know that you're paying Social Security and Medicare taxes. But what you may not know is that you're not paying 100% of those taxes. Employers pay half. Employees pay the other half. So you're being taxed at 7.65% at your job. But if you're self-employed, you pay the whole 15.3% tax. And if you're already self-employed out there, you already know how big that bill is. So when you subtract the potential tax liability from the flipper, they're going to be left with $8,800 after taxes for their net profit. Now, the real estate investor is going to take a different path. See, the real estate investor will, instead of selling, what they will do is they will market the property. And they do this while the property is being renovated, because there's no better way to showcase your property than for people to see it transform and know that, man, that's a nice property. I want that. And they will compete for it. So that real estate investor is going to take a slightly different path. And what they will do is they will lease that property out to a very well-qualified resident who will live in that property, enjoy quiet use of that property, and will take care of that property because they actually have a sense of pride. And it's very similar to pride of ownership, although they don't really own the property, but they feel like they do. And trust me, if you've been a renter, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you see everything from really nice to kind of nice to not so nice and to, are you kidding me? Yeah, all that stuff's out there in the marketplace. We choose to be on the very nice side of that equation. So our residents realize that they're getting value for the property. So let's explain how the real estate investor is going to make money on this. Remember that flipper was going to make $8,800 after taxes, and then they're going to go flip another property. And if they're working full-time as flipping, I mean, many flippers, they kind of dabble in it, then they make a little bit of money, and then they turn it into a full-time job. They leave their full-time job to do a full-time job. But the difference is now they're self-employed. The real estate investor, however, by putting that property back into service, will command market rents for that property. The homes that we invest in the markets that we invest in, produce on average about $400 per month in passive income. That's taking the rent, subtracting all expenses, which is normally just the mortgage payment, PITI, not really anything for maintenance because you fixed everything up that could go wrong. You've got a resident in there on a one-year lease, so you're probably not going to have any vacancy because you did a really good job of screening that resident. So you pick the best of the best, and you followed all fair housing laws in doing so. So that property is going to produce $4,800 a year in passive income. And you're thinking to yourself, well, how is $4,800 better than $8,800 in your hand right now? Well, here's why. You are authorized to depreciate that asset. See, this is where the tax laws kick in and they become more favorable to the real estate investor. You're allowed to depreciate the improvements on that property over time. Not the land, but the improvements on the property. So if you take a $100,000 house and you assess that maybe the land is worth $14,000, you will depreciate $86,000 over a 27.5-year lifespan, because that's what the IRS says is appropriate for residential income producing real estate. So as a result of that, the majority of that income that you're making will not be taxed because the depreciation offsets it. And even if I go with a very, very conservative depreciation schedule, you will write down about $3,636 against that $4,800 of income, and you will only be liable for tax on $1,164. Now, that will be at whatever your ordinary tax rate is. But here's the other thing. You're not self-employed. Now, real estate investors are not considered self-employed by IRS statutes. So you are not subject to paying 15.3% in Social Security and Medicare taxes. Now, you're going to hold this property for a while, and there's reasons for that. Because over time, that property will appreciate in value. Real estate has a tendency to double in value every 20 years, faster in some places, slower in others. And as a result of that appreciation, and let's just assume 3.5%, a real conservative number. After 3 years period of time, the value of that home will go up by almost $11,000. Oh, and by the way, you will have made almost $15,000 in cash flow, of which the majority of that has been offset by the depreciation that you take in that 3 year period. So now you're looking at, you know, potentially $15,000 in cash flow. You're looking at potentially $11,000 in valuation increase based on appreciation. And you're going to get something called principal pay down, because when you pay that mortgage every month, you will pay a portion towards principal, and that will reduce your loan balance. That happens each and every month. And each month, it becomes a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. So let's just say conservatively, you only pay down that mortgage by $3,700. Do you see where the wealth is building here? Because not only has the property gone up in value $11,000, the principal has paid down on that mortgage by about another $3,700. So now you've got almost $15,000 in equity gains, in addition to the $16,000 of equity that you started with. Yeah, we're looking at what, $31,000 just in equity alone. Not to mention that you've put almost $15,000 into your household over that 3 year period. And if you have a great resident, here's the thing. Once they move in and they enjoy that property, they don't want to move because moving is a hassle. So when you think about the amount of money that that property has the potential to generate for you, it's a complete game changer when you step away from the flipping side of the equation. And remember this, all along the continuum, you have helped other people who have helped you along the way, and it is a great, great experience. And if you want to find out more about how we do what we do, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.